You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast, and that's my little commercial, if you will, that I did several years ago. Would be nice to do another one. Maybe one day I will. But anyways, I want to talk to you about mysticlivingtoday.com, of course. It won't be long that I'll be sending out reminders for articles and poetry and press releases and, you know, just send it to me at starscast, S-T-A-R-Z like in zebra, C-A-S-T like in Tom, at mysticlivingtoday.com. It's rare that I refuse anything. I don't think I've ever refused anything, but because people just are, you know, that see the magazine and that, they're all of a spiritual mind. I'm hoping that they are, and I'm hoping that if they've been thinking about, oh, do I believe in this, do I believe in that, that once they look at the magazine and all the beautiful work that's out there, that they'll realize that they are on a spiritual path. So that's that. I'll be putting those out about the 20th. And, of course, the magazine goes up on the 1st. Last month I was a few days late because we had a passing in a family. Not in my town here, but it kind of put me back because, you know, every once in a while there's a spokesperson that one has to call everybody. Well, I had to call everybody. And, you know, sometimes you don't hear from them or talk to them, and they want to know everything. You know, I didn't want to rush them because they were already feeling pretty bad, and so I kind of had a day that I really didn't do the magazine like I should have. But we're back on track, and I was back on the job on the 1st and the 2nd and got it all up. And this issue that's up there right now, and I know I say this all the time, but this is the biggest I have ever done. And I think what's happening is an attest to what's going on in the world. I think people feel the need to put out all of this information so that you can read it and find out that there are other ways to handle things. So my other site, of course, is stars with a Z, psychics.com. It's been getting pretty busy. I'm happy with that. That was 9 years old in September. And yours truly is just plugging along. And I'm still learning how to do my flip magazine. So at any moment in time, you could go to Mystic Living Today and say, oh, she's got a flip magazine. It's not that simple, though. But I'm learning. It's a process. So without further ado, I want to bring in my lovely guest today. She was co-creator of something called Discover the Gift, and she's got so many abilities and so many things that she's done, and I want to welcome Cheyenne Joy Aziz. How are you today, Cheyenne?
Hello. I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, doesn't she have a nice voice? Before the show, I was telling her I kept getting goosebumps, and I have them again. And it's maybe it must be your voice. Your voice is just so nice and soft and reassuring. And but anyways, let's get started. How did this all come about for you? When Cheyenne was, having all of her education and all of this kind of put us on the path so that we can go to where you are now.
Okay, wow, and what a journey it's been, huh? And I think that's for everyone. So what happened for me is, honestly, I've really learned to discover the gift within my adversities. And when I was 12 years old, my mother died in a car accident unexpectedly on her way home. And 20 days before my mother died, our house burned to the ground while I was on vacation with my father, and they were split up in New York. And so within a very short amount of time, I lost every single thing I knew to be solid and real in the world, which was my mother and our home and all the physical things that reminded me of her and brought me close to her. So at 12, I had to really figure out how to keep moving forward. And believe it or not, at 12, that was something I was thinking about. How do I take 12 years and be grateful that I had the kind of mom I did. And so that's what I started really thinking about a lot in the sadness and the grief was the gratitude that I had a mom who loved me and I knew she loved me, who would do anything for me. And it was in that focus that I think I started to be able to just find my way again through life, and with the support of her friends and my family and incredible people in the world. And so that was the beginning of my journey. And that brought me into high school, and high school and public education was not a match for the emotional turmoil I was in. And so I quit high school when I was 15 and I got my GED. And that one act allowed me, because that's what was right for me. And I don't think that is right for everyone by any means. But for me, what it allowed me was to be able to step out of a system that was really not allowing me to heal and to find a way to begin to heal. And so that began my journey of healing. And I got my GED and I decided college was where I needed to go. So I went back to Vermont and I went to Goddard College. And it was in that educational environment that taught me about John Dewey, about really diving in and leaning into my experiences, and being willing to learn from them. You know, knowing, doing, and being. You know, what do I know? How do I then act that out in the world? And then who am I because of those actions? And that education led me on this journey.
You know, I'm sitting listening to you, and I'm thinking, I kind of went back to myself. I left school at 16, high school, because I only had another semester to go. But I looked ahead. You see, we made decisions. I looked ahead at who I was going to be surrounded with. All of my friends were gone. I just needed like 12 credit hours or something ridiculous. And I thought, they're like kids. They were just so different than me. So I then went to beauty school in Detroit. Yeah. But now I'm thinking, and you know, I did a lot of things. I mean, tennis is my background, and I'm always serving people. But now I see what it was showing me is that I needed to be amongst people. I needed to assist, aid, help. I even worked in a nursing home for 6 years as a hairdresser, and that takes a lot. But you know, like
yes,
you see, yeah, we found something. We were triggered into doing something, and I never felt bad about leaving school. You know, my parents didn't say anything. I was kind of I was an only child, but I was a lonely child, meaning I did probably fend for myself. I mean, they weren't mean to me, but they weren't like your mother. My mother was not like your mother at all. I'm sure she was wonderful. But I think that, you know, it's all of a sudden the universe says, okay, well, look what we have here. We got to do something fast. We got to get these people on their right path. And that's what happened to you, and that's what happened to me. Only I haven't written a book. I haven't done a movie. I haven't done any of that. But the platforms that I have, and you and I were discussing this before, is, and like you are doing your thing to enlighten the world, and I'm doing my thing to enlighten the world. And actually, we're on the same path. We just kind of like,
exactly.
Maybe we go off into we have a crossroad, and we have to go over here, and we have to go over there.
Well, that's
but
the perfect example of discover the gift. Like, that's perfect. It's that I'm doing my piece, you're doing your piece, others are doing their pieces. Together we create that whole. We create that oneness of really making a difference.
Yes, yes. And I haven't looked at the trailer, and I, you know, want to learn all about what you wrote about. And yeah, but you see how our minds, that's probably why I had goosebumps, because we're really the same, how we kind of work together, even though we're not working together, but we really are. And there's thousands of us out there, thousands and probably hundreds of thousands, I should say, that are maybe just getting on the path that you and I were kind of, you know, somebody said, come on, you're going to go this way, let's go. You know, you didn't even think about it. You didn't think about it
and
either.
You didn't even know it. No, and it's so interesting you bring that up, and it reminds me of one of the greatest gifts I got from college, which has informed me and definitely put me on my path, which was some of the initial conversation we were having earlier, is At Goddard, when you first go to school there, you have to sign up for community service, and that was true back then. And so there are these lists of all these places that you could sign up for community service. And I love children, and because as a child I had lost so much, I really have always connected with children and just really felt my need to be very present with them and understand the large lives that children live. And so I signed up to work at the Orange County Parent Child Center and just to be a volunteer to work with these groups of children. And on my first day, unknown to me, as I walked in, they were like, "Oh, we're so happy you're here." And they handed me this load of books and like curriculum material. And I was 18 and I was like, "What's this?" They're like, "Oh, you'll be running the Nurturing Parent." I know, totally. So I was like, "You'll be running the Nurturing Parent program for the young kids in here."
Oh, goody.
Right? Oh, goody. I had no idea.
Yeah.
And I was studying psychology, but no one had really cleared that with me. So I'm like, I'm all in. I'm here for the kids. So what I didn't realize was the room I was walking into was a room filled with abused and neglected children. And my job was to teach them boundaries for themselves, clear communication. And we're talking little babies, like little kids, 2 to 6 years old, 7 years old,
healthy
ways to communicate with their parents. And what was happening next door with these parents were being educated about all the same things, but from the adult perspective. Well, when I left my first day, I was just, my heart was broken. And I thought, how could I do this? And then I woke up in the morning and I thought, how could I not? And that one experience drove me to really be where I am today, to learn more and to discover more and to really be there in the lives of children. Because that's what life is really about. You know, we grow up to be adults, and most of us, not all, but dream of having children to create our next generation. So
that's
it
right.
really is up to us to create the best possible world for them to live in. It really is our responsibility. And I really understood that when I took that position, that it takes a village and we're all part of that. And that has driven me consistently to be there in the lives of children, to support parents and communities and individuals, right? And those adversities, you see, I think sometimes we miss that the gifts often live in our adversities. Right, when we're willing to really look at that and lean into the pain and discover the power in that
pain,
the purpose of that pain, then we can actually have some transformational experiences. And so that was one of my biggest ones, was working with abused and neglected children. And I signed up for as many days as they would allow me to after that. And then I got a degree in psychology. And then I got a master's degree.
That does not surprise me.
Right. And then I went back and got a second master's degree in psychology, not because I wanted the degrees, but because I wanted to learn more. I wanted to understand more fully and more deeply what was happening.
You know, it's strange. Sometimes people need formal education. Like me, I didn't have it at all. I mean, I had people education, I think, because I was born and raised in Detroit. Rough place, but it was great for me, you know. There must have been something inside me, though, that I think kept pushing me, and, you know, I had no desire to go back to school. That wasn't even on my mind. I did well in school. I was a good reader and all of that, but isn't it strange? The universe just has ideas. And sometimes it's kind of, I like to think of it as like there's this big, huge meeting, big round table. Okay, everybody, how are we going to get Natalie over there? What is our plan? She's a little girl, but this is where we want her to be. Same thing with you, Cheyenne. How do we get her there? The little door opens and so there has to be something within us that moves us forth to where we're supposed to go. I mean, nobody physically makes us do it, you know? I mean, they didn't make you. But you had that in you. You were supposed to be helping children. That was it. I mean, and anybody that didn't know that was really a fool that was in your life.
That was in my
life. I would spot it right away. I mean, this lady is so awesome. Listen to her. So I think, no, I know. Isn't it wonderful that you found what you're supposed to be doing? You know, there are so many struggling out there that they're just floundering around. They go from here to there. And some of them have so many talents, Cheyenne. And it's so sad. I always say I wish I had a magic wand that I could fix it all for everybody to be, you know, not the same, but, you know, on the same platforms that many of us are on, and they see things differently. And I, you know, we're going to talk about the world. You and I were talking about that. I look at people and I just ask why.
Go ahead.
No, go.
Most people, I think that most people, and this is not for everyone, but really get caught up in what they think others' perspective and perception of them is and how they think others think they're supposed to be. And part of creating Discover the Gift with my family, I did it with my brother and my husband and a group of incredible people, was about helping people see that we have to take away all of those beliefs and perspectives on us that don't serve us, the things that aren't really true of us. And we often try to live into other people's ideals of who they think we're supposed to be. And that takes us away from the true path. And I think that's why people sometimes feel lost. So they think success looks like this because that's what people tell them.
That's right.
And if you're willing to do your inner work, if you're willing to say hello to your demons and to the beliefs that don't serve you, then you get to step through that fear and step into the other side, which is who you really are, right? Really get clear on who you're not, and then you start to find out who you are as well.
That's right.
And so that's what Discover the Gift is really about. It's about your passions, your purpose, your art, your music, your writing, your healing, your teaching, whatever all those are. And the beginning of that is your own development, to discover the adversities in your own life and the gifts within them. Because that's what really has informed us. When we think about life, we think of the really good times, but many people, and most people I've worked with for over 25 years, focus on all the bad things that have happened. Now, what if we shift our perspective on those bad things? And what if we look and say, yeah, that was awful, I'm grieving, it hurt, it was terrible, after you get through that grief and you're on the other side, and then you say, what was in it for me? What was that gift? And it wasn't until I was willing to do that with my own crazy life I had as a youngster growing up that I actually experienced success. And success
And you had a void there, too. You had this void that, I mean, you didn't have mom.
No, I did not
you
have
know
mom.
What I'm saying? I didn't really, but it was a different way. Isn't that amazing?
It was a different way. And I found my way.
I'm getting goosebumps with you, and now I know. Probably sisters in another life or something, but isn't that something? And sometimes we have a family, but they're really not a family. Everybody's doing their own thing, and, you know, and I don't know. I often think, I mean, I have a beautiful son. My son is, his birthday was yesterday, and I got him this card, and he cried because it said about what a special man he is, and he is. I always say to him, if I could find a man out there in my life, man, I'd have it made because that's what he is. But, you know, oftentimes you hope your children, you have children, Cheyenne?
I do. I have a daughter, yes.
Okay. Well, we hope, and we can only, I mean, I didn't really guide him. I was just around. But we hope that they kind of have the same values we have and without lecturing and, you know, but it doesn't always happen that way for people. But I think we just have to nurture. We just have to love. And, you know, this whole thing in the world with this pandemic, and I say this every week, I think this was the universe way of saying, okay, so you've been putting money before everything else, huh? Okay, how about I take it away? How about I fix it? So that you start to think about others. And I mean, you are too. You are very much about others. It's not about self. It's not about me. I mean, I'm the most giving person that I know. I don't know anybody like me. You probably don't either. You know, I mean, they're out there, you and I, but
yes,
I mean, there's not. Don't you think that's true?
I think that there is a large contingency, and we're not all in the same places. And I think
that's
the hardest part. And so there's a lot of people out there, but creating the connectivity where we all are able to be in the same space, I think is what it is for me.
And it's wonderful. I mean, I get to meet people all over the world. And
how fun.
I mean, yeah, you know, and it's wonderful. You know, it really, really is. But growing up is tough for kids. It was tough for you. But you see, the universe took control. Same thing with me.
Yeah.
I could have turned out to be a monster. And somebody told me that. She says, I don't understand how you turned out to be the way you are with the life you had. Well, I had guidance from above. That's all I can tell you. I write in my posts, I write on Instagram, believe. But it comes from within. It's not like, oh, I have to see it on a piece of paper. No, you don't have to see it on a piece of paper.
From within, yes, it's from within. One day when I was young, before my mom died, and my mom loved to garden, she was an organic gardener and really believed in producing our own food and knowing where it comes from. And I was walking home from a friend's house who lived about a mile down the road, and it's a country road. And I was walking home, and I remember pausing and seeing a movement around this big dead log in the woods. And so I paused for a little bit, and I watched it. And this is a memory it is etched in me. And I noticed on that dead log all the life that was living. I noticed the moss, and I saw the squirrels and the little bugs and the spiders. And all of a sudden, I realized that tree in its passing created so much life for those creatures around it. And I remember going, aha, like I sort of felt like I understood something that was so much larger than me in that moment. And I went home and I talked to my mom about it. And we really talked about the earth, the moon, and the stars, and about energy. And that was my first big discussion, was around that log. And I got to have it with my mom. And what a blessing. And to, in that conversation, learned her beliefs and also solidified my own. And interesting about guidance. So after my mom's passing and all kinds of crazy things that happened to young girls, you know, happened to me too. But I do remember someone saying to me, how are you still alive? How are you still here? And the first thing I remember thinking was about the guidance I have within that has always told me it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like it just told me that when I was young. And even in my pain and grief and sorrow at different times, there was guidance there. And I think I was open to that guidance because my heart was blasted open so young, and I didn't have anyone around to help me sew it back together. So it stayed open. And that's a blessing and a curse, however you want to look at it, right?
Oh, yeah, because you absorb everything that way.
You absorb everything that way. So my heart really was just stayed wide open until as an adult I really learned how to, you know, have more better boundaries and those things. But that was part of my growing up. And so I was always very open and open also to that guidance. And I think that's why I have that connectivity so young to it, whatever that it is. I am that I am.
I agree. And if you look back and I look back, because there's some similarities, there are probably things in our lives that kind of we had to look at it a little bit more closely. You know, right now, I often think to myself, oh, maybe you should have gone on with more schooling. I always wanted to be in medicine. But you know what was so stupid? I didn't think I was smart enough because I had nobody to say, Natalie, you can do this. Now I have people around me now They think that I can do anything, you know, but then I don't feel so bad because I just think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I just know it. I mean, I would be unhappy with it. Right.
Exactly. Yes. And don't regret that. You know, my husband and I giggle sometimes about some basic cultural knowledge I kind of missed, and we giggle because I quit high school at 15. I didn't get 15, 16, 17 in high school, you know, and I don't regret it for a second, you know, and I want those that high school and public education is a good match for to go for it, and those that know it's not a good match for them to know there are so many alternatives that will get you the same thing and more. There's so many ways to education, and I think with so much that's going on right now with our world, with COVID, with our president, with the United States, with the world, it's that we're in a big paradigm shift. We're really in a place where we get to really look at what's working in our world, what's not working in our world, and what's missing that would have a profound difference. And for me, I always, you know, bring it back to the children and our youth, and that whatever we do, it should be for them. And that really looking at now is the time, the perfect time to lean into yourself, to discover your gifts, to look at the adversities that have informed you and take the time to shift what's not working for you in your world. You know, peace really begins within. It really, really does. And so much of creating Discover the Gift was about creating my own inner peace. And it was my process and my journey for peace. And that's why I think it's gone so far all over the world. It's in, I can't even keep up, 18, 20 countries and 20-something languages. And but because it really talks about the work you need to do yourself to
Tell me how this came about. How did Discover the Gift come about? The book, the movie? How did you start getting your feet wet in all of this? I mean, and I want to tell everybody the site is discoverthegift.com, just like I'm saying, and go there. You can go there and see what we're talking about. But I'm curious. I want to know, how does one get their feet wet in all of this? How did you meet somebody? I'm sure you did. You were guided somewhere. Yeah.
I was, and so it happened like this. I was a school counselor in the state of Vermont. Love my job, a position I had worked very hard for because I'm very alternative, and to have public school licenses, you have to jump through so many hoops. And so I jumped through all those hoops, got all the degrees, did everything I needed, and loved my job, which was supporting Vermont youth in their lives and next steps and transitions. And so then my husband took a job with my brother in Los Angeles. My brother's a filmmaker. He wrote and directed the movie 3,000 Miles to Graceland, and was the director. And he also was the director of Discover the Gift, and that's what he does for a living. So they were working on movies, and I was finishing up the school year, and my daughter was 4. And then I went out there, and there was a group working on a project called The Gift. And it just wasn't getting anywhere. And they were meeting, and I was part of the whole film crew because we lived above the film studio. And so I just
thought, how exciting.
It was really fun. I was actually working on a PhD in education and actually human organization and development systems at the time.
I wish I could have been a little fly on the wall, Cheyenne.
And I was listening to them all talk, and we're hanging out, And then they were trying to be like, well, we need to get a different writer. They had a certain writer, and for whatever reason, that style wasn't working. And so they had a few key transformational leaders in the project already that I've always thought were wonderful. So I was like, well, you should have Jack Canfield write it. Like, he's amazing. Like, you know, best-selling author, blah, blah, blah. Like, he'd be phenomenal. And my brother was connected to him, so that was something that was totally possible. And so they were like, yeah, but, like, everyone knows him. And so all of a sudden my husband says, well, Cheyenne can write. She's a really good writer. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm kind of like a journal writer, an academic writer. Like, I'm like getting my PhD. No, like, I'm more like, you know, I didn't.
You want me to write a script?
That. Yeah, like, I didn't think any of that was for me, right? I literally was like, no, I can't do that. And so here's what I want people to really hear. I said, no, I can't do that. Yet everyone around me reflected back that I could. So that's really how it unfolded. And so in that moment, and I want us to kind of come back to this because I don't want to lose this thing. This is really important for people to know. So everyone then convinced me that I could do it. So I'd never written a book proposal. Now I'm writing a book proposal to go to like all these like big publishing houses. And I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing, like at all, like shooting in the dark, clueless. So someone gave me an example of one, so I'm working on that, and my brother had a manager for the book that they hadn't written yet for this, which was amazing, and it ended up being named something different, of course. So I wrote the book proposal. The manager took it to the London Book Fair, and Germany bought it first, and then it became a bestseller with Germany. But before that, 12 different countries bought it at the London Book Fair. And that began the big journey. And then Random House hopped on globally. And so it really was this process, which I want to bring people back to, of me saying, I can't, I don't know how. And the people around me saying, oh, yes, you can. And you do know how, you just haven't done it yet. So I want people to pause for a minute. And I want you to think about the people in your life that know you well. Whether they love you well is something different, but who know you really well and you know see you clearly, and ask them what they think your gift is. What do they think your purpose is and your passion is in this world? And listen to them. Write down what they tell you. Ask a bunch of people. Notice the themes that come up. Notice the reflections people have for you about what they think is right and wonderful and gifted within you. And be prepared to share the same back for them because they'll definitely want to know too. But this is really important, right? I didn't see
Oh, yes,
it and
absolutely. And, you know, my mind, you know, I'm listening to you. I mean, because I can do a lot of things at once, and I'm thinking about the people that have said that to me, like they said to you.
Perfect.
Yeah. That's important. Yeah. That's an important a little thing that you should do. Is because everybody looks at somebody and says, gee, I wish I could do what they do, you know? Why can't I do that? Find out what they think you can do.
Yes,
what are you good
and
at?
Be willing. Yes, exactly. Look at what you're good at and be willing to step through the fear. See, most of us stop and face that fear, and that language I've always had an issue with. Don't stop and face it. Stop and see it and then step through it. Figure out how to step through it because the other side is where your joy is, where that self-esteem boost comes from, where your gifts live, where you get to allow your passions to fuel you. So be willing. Be willing. Recently, I literally said no to something that I'd been doing for quite a few years that was very much in service to children and community, which I love doing. Yet, it was really draining me. It was draining me at a level that I hadn't quite connected to yet. And I had to make some really clear choices. And I was afraid to step away from it because I didn't know.
I had to ask you, why were you afraid?
I'm going to tell you why, and that's a great question. I was afraid because I was afraid of not honoring a full commitment that I had made. I was afraid of my own, what would happen to those kids if I wasn't there. Who's going to step in? What's going to happen to all of those things that have been working in their lives? Is someone going to have as much care and attention? I had so many issues around it. My own fear of money, right? Like it was part, I have multiple streams of income. It was one of my big streams of income. And so what I chose was my well-being because that's most important. And I want everyone to hear that. Your well-being is most important because all those other things you want to do can't happen without your well-being. So I chose my well-being, and within that, my fear stepping through it created even more abundance than I could ever have imagined again, right? Me being willing to step through the fear.
It makes so much
sense. I now have more streams of income. Yep.
Yes. It makes so much. I hope everybody's listening to this, that, and they will. They can after the show. It stays on the site all the time, all the shows, but you know, I was thinking about my fears. Okay, what are your fears, Natalie? What do you think that you can't do but you probably could do very well? I will tell you. Let me share this with you, and you can tell me what you think, because I value your opinion. I haven't known you very long, how many minutes, but I still value your opinion. I have a fairy tale that I've worked on. It's for children. It's for young adults and children, I thought. But now I'm thinking it's actually to show people that they just need to believe. Now I'm reversing it, but I have the ability to have it published by so many people because of the resources that I have, Cheyenne. I mean, I know everybody everywhere that's in the literary world. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But yet something
you?
Holds me back, and I don't mm-hmm. know really what it is. It's a beautiful story. The ending is beautiful. The whole thing is beautiful. It just shows you.
That sounds lovely.
It shows you anything is possible if you believe. And I know that sounds like, oh yeah, sure, I believe I can, you know, fly up to the moon, you know, I can. Well, who says you can't? At some point,
exactly.
You know, I mean, but you got to believe.
You
can't put a hold on it. You can't say but.
Exactly. You can't. And you know, I. Go ahead.
What do you think? Why am I holding back on this? I mean, I should just sit down and do it. I mean, it's all in my head,
well,
basically, most of it.
There are two things that come with that. There are two things that come with success. The big one is responsibility to it. Many people want the success and don't connect that there's a lot of responsibility to whatever that success is for them, whatever that means
uh-huh. yeah.
for them. So often that's a fear that most people aren't aware that they have is actually the fear of success. Many people are aware of their fear of failure. They're not really aware of their fear of success. And that holds us back just as much, if not more. And so being willing, again, to step through the fear. So I would challenge you to pick the publisher, person, editor, whoever it is you feel most comfortable with.
Yeah.
And stepping through that fear and just discovering what's on the other side. It doesn't mean you have to be married to it, but it will start answering those questions. You know, if we have things that are recurring for us over and over again within our being, within our soul, that keep coming to the forefront of our mind with everything that's going on, what I want to say is there's something in that for you. There's something there for you. So to lean into it, to dive into that more fully. A lot of the work I do with people I mentor and coach is really help them get clear about the way we activate that life we want to live and whatever way that is, and I want to be clear about that, it's different for everyone, but is to start activating your integrity, right? It's about following through on what you know to be true and taking that first step in the direction.
And you know what? It's already a nice story because my granddaughter, when she started high school, she's in the 11th grade now, she said to me, well, she calls me Gram-Gram or Grambo. Grambo because she thinks I can do anything. Isn't that hilarious? But she said, can I take this to school? Because I have to bring in something and read it. The teacher reads it first. Well, I said, oh, geez, you know, I don't know. I guess so. You know, it
mm-hmm.
wasn't even finished. And she took it in, and the teacher looked at it, handed it back, and she said, I want you to read this to the class. I want you to read this. Yeah, so I already had a little frosting on the cake put, you know, I already had, and she was so excited, and she said to me, well, who can publish this?
Exactly.
I said, well, it's got... It has. We have to have a little bit more context to it. She said, no. No, she said, all it has to be is a story that you're reaching out
exactly.
to, and this is a ninth grader, you're reaching out to people, and she still talks to me about it. I was just with her yesterday, that reaching yeah. out to people, because they're going to understand this, Graham. They're going to understand.
And they're going to have their own aha moments in it. That's what
yes.
I want to share with you. So one of the big... Like, I get hits of information, you know, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. And so one
yes.
of the things that came up for me when you were sharing about your book in the very beginning was that I wanted to say to you that if children's books are the most profound, and if it's for the children, often the adults are reading it to them, so they're getting their messages too. I think children's books are such a delicious way to get important messages out to all ages.
I really need to do this. You really encouraged me. And my love for animals goes just beyond. I mean, any kind of animal. I mean, the little ones, I call them my little boopies. Pigs, calves, rhinos, elephants. It doesn't matter what they are. It doesn't matter. I have this love.
That's awesome.
And people tell me that on Instagram. My God, you're way over the top. I can sit and look at these animals, big, small, running and scampering, and I feel so good inside. And the book has a lot of that in it. It has, you know, the girl, which is probably me. I'm sure it's me I'm writing about, has this ability to communicate with any animal that's out there. And she has no fear. Don't ask me why. I haven't figured it out yet, but she has no fear. She just knows they're all going to love her. She just knows, and she's not afraid. And so maybe the story is a little bit about showing people not to be afraid. God, I'm writing my own story. Not to be afraid to venture off into unknown territories. Be safe, though, of course. But, you know, she's just fearless. But her story it has a beautiful ending, and it's kind of a love story. It's just... You know, but really, I wanted it to be somebody of my granddaughter's age. But she said to me, "Oh," she says, "who's not going to read this?" She says, "This is good for everybody. Everybody should learn about this, Graham. Everybody should believe like you." So,
Graham, I agree.
Know.
And so, what I want to say is that I want to support you in taking your next steps to actually activate this dream and this passion of yours into the world. So what I would say to one of my clients that I'm working with is I would give them what I created called, called a fact plan. And the fact plan is focused action creates transformation, right? When we have focused action, that's what creates a difference. That's evolution in action. So what I want to say to you is by when date that you're going to contact a publisher and or an editor that can start you moving in your next steps. So what I would be doing is sending you a fact plan that you could fill out all around this that gives you detailed action steps to take with dates so you knew exactly what you needed to do now. Because often we get these aha moments and these ideas and we know what to do and we think we're going to remember them later.
But
what happens is we don't. But they're those keys that keep showing up for us and keep showing up for us. So when we start to take note of what we need to focus our action on, even if it's just a few minutes a day, that's when the transformation and the things that you want to generate in the world start to appear. You know, people talk to me about meditation, because in my project there's a lot of famous people in the world around meditation and personal development and personal growth and spirituality. And when people ask me, like, how do you begin meditating? For me, I think I'll always be a beginner no matter what. But what I say is start small. Start with things that are doable so that you can build that success for yourself and build those muscles. You know, following through and having integrity for some people comes naturally. For other people, they have to build those muscles of they can do it for themselves and to show up for themselves. And that's where a lot of self-esteem comes from. And I think that's a lot of what's lacking in our schools today is that we don't breed self-esteem as a key thing.
Yeah.
We don't support
that. And
that
is so important. You have to feel good about yourself. You have to. You just have to. Or you're going to be stumbling.
You're going to be, in this world, in this day and age, you need a foundation. If we look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, that is always a true thing. We, you know, the triangle of, you know, food, shelter, water, the basics first, and then we can build upon those. So it's building upon those. And we build upon those for ourselves by following through on what we know to be true, by following through on those themes and messages that keep recurring for you, that keep showing up and keep showing up. And they show up because we haven't activated them yet.
Yep.
We haven't stepped into them yet.
And you're part of that today.
saying now is the time. Exactly.
Yes.
And that's
you're
the
second person in 2 weeks. So actually, I'm going to tell you something. 2 weeks ago, I had a lady that I interviewed, and she said to me, I will be your writing coach. She said, I believe in you. You just told me a little bit about your story. I believe in you. The world needs this story. And I said, yeah, you know, I don't even know how to start. I mean, you know, she said, just sit at the computer and type. She said, you're so creative. You should be able to do this in a heartbeat. But she said, I will help you. You let me know when you're ready, and we will get, a year from now, this book will be out. And then I have you that comes along and brings me something else to the puzzle. And, you know, I believe in it, and it's not a sad thing, it's a good thing, and people need to smile. People need to believe and smile, Cheyenne, and I, you know, you're doing your part, I'm doing my part. Every Wednesday I have a radio show. I mean, I've even got a lady coming from Abu Dhabi and another lady from Barcelona, and I have to be on the radio like 10 in the morning, but I don't care. She says, don't you mind doing this? I said, no, absolutely not. I love it. And I told you, when we started, we don't have a script. I don't need a Q&A. Because you see what
exactly.
we've come around, your ability to help children and my story, and see how it's all intertwined? There's a reason for it.
Absolutely. And the reason for those that are listening today to know that the world is ready for you. We want your gifts. We want to hear from you. We want you to share your stories and your experiences because it makes a difference for others. You know, our society is really, really good at helping us focus on what's wrong with us. I mean, it's everywhere. Everywhere you look, and it's what's wrong with us, what's wrong with us. They teach it into our schools. We get X's first instead of everything that's right first, you know. And so what I want to remind you all is that we have to focus on the things that are right and wonderful about ourselves. That one act trains us to start focusing on what's right and wonderful about others in our sphere, to teach it to
now,
our
children.
Do you
have somebody around you, like your go-to person that, you know, we all have moments of doubt and all that. And is there somebody that, maybe your husband, maybe he's forever saying, oh, come on, you can do this, Cheyenne. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. I mean, do you have somebody around you like that? Or
luckily,
a lot of somebodies, maybe.
Through the years, I have generated an incredible community of loving, open-minded people, and I feel really lucky for that. And in the very inner circle within my world, it would be my very best friend, Dr. Jennifer Pollack, and my husband and my daughter, who reflect for me what's possible.
She has to be like
also,
you, a lot like
she
you.
Is. Often people, you know, for many years, and I also want to share like some of my little rituals that I've had throughout the years I've created with my best friend. 30 years we've been best friends, and we started many years ago when we were young and we were living together and we were tired of not making money. Like we had made, I think, $15,000 a year that year, and we were struggling, and it was New Year's, and we looked at each other and we said, my intention for this year is to make no less than $20,000. Like, I'll never forget it. And we both giggled and we had this intention party. And every year after that, we had an intention party. And every year for 30 years, we create yearly intentions with each other. And we support each other to manifest those intentions that are for us. And it's been very powerful. So I just want to challenge everyone who's listening today to find an intention partner. Find someone who
yeah.
wants to support you in manifesting your passions, your intentions.
I have a
your
lady
gifts.
That's writing to me. She's writing to me right now on Messenger. She said, I haven't been told you need to write a book. And I said, well, my fairy tale is about myself and another person. And she said, yes, write the book. If I said to her, and she's listening, if I said to her, what am I good at? I wonder what she would say. She has, I've known her over 20 years. I've never met her. But it doesn't matter. And I guess she's kind of the one that I go to. I mean, my son is stands up, come on, Mom, you can do this. And, of course, my granddaughter. But I've never had anybody that I was not related to. My best friend died 5 years ago. And my other friend that was like a sister died just almost 3 years ago. She was my co-host. She would tell me the same thing. But this lady, she'll say to me, oh, you two just resonated with each other. Gosh, I just love it. She'll tell me. She critiques my show every time I do it. It's hilarious, you know. And we've never met. We only talk online. Isn't that amazing?
That's wonderful.
So I want to say to her right now, I want you to write, what am I good at, my friend? You write it down so I can tell Cheyenne. Well, I guess I'm good at a lot of things. You're good at a lot of things.
Well, never doubt how amazing you are, right? You have phenomenal abilities and gifts beyond what you think you have
right
now.
And
right?
You love life and I love life. I went through a lot, too. She's writing. I went through a lot in my life with my late husband, but I'm not even going to go into that. That's past. That's the past. I stood up, and I did it, and it's good. It was good for me. But you have to go through these things sometimes to show where your strengths are.
Yes.
Oh, you know what she said? You are good at being smart. You are brave as hell.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that something?
Good match.
She always
book,
says to me,
sounds like, yeah.
Yeah, she is. She's the one. She's known me when I used to work on America Online, and that's when I got my, I love computers. That's when I got my feet wet on computers, really, because I knew I was going to do something on them, but I just didn't know what. And I have three monitors in front of me. That's how busy I keep myself. And I'm not afraid. I am not afraid. I can approach anybody. I don't care if they're famous, infamous. Doesn't matter who they are. I'll send you a nice email.
I feel the same.
if the universe, God, which I believe in totally, feels that they should be on my show, they'll be on my show. There's this one person that I got. And I said to him, why did you want to come on my show? He said, I listened to your show, and I learned about you. And he said, there was no doubt in my mind that we shouldn't talk.
Hmm.
She just said, yeah, but you and I have never met a stranger ever. Yeah, it's true. We are. And isn't it something how you connect with people that you never meet? You do it. I bet you. What's amazing about you? And your story is that you moved out to Los Angeles. Your husband took this job, you know, it was your brother also, right, who worked in
film? Yes,
films.
My brother. Yeah, it's his film.
Now,
studio,
think about it. If you
movies,
would not
yeah.
have, or if you, I should say your husband would not have gone out there, maybe the door wouldn't have opened that much for you. It might have taken a little bit longer. I don't think it would have prevented you. But there was a timing in it all.
I don't think it would have prevented. If there is timing and being willing to step into that timing.
That's right. That's right.
I think Eminem has a line in one of his songs, and I don't think you only get one shot.
He's from Michigan. Isn't that hilarious? And that's where
yes,
I was really...
And I don't think you only get one shot, but he says you only get one shot, right, in this lifetime, so don't lose your opportunity. I think you have many shots. However, if I had said no to being the author of this, they would have moved on and maybe something great would have happened, or maybe it wouldn't have gone as it went, because we ended up changing it. When I became the author, it became about life and about adversities and about discovering the gifts in them and about family and healing. And it was a very different story than the original one. Now, interestingly enough, my whole life, for as long as I can remember, I've been a writer. I loved my old typewriter. I used to stay up at night, tippy-tappy, driving my family nuts, writing poetry and little things of whatever. And I always knew I would write a book. I never knew what it was going to be about. I had no clue how it was going to happen. And I always knew. And I thought it would be
I never had that.
Different.
And everybody that's been on the show either loved to write poetry. I love to read now, though. I really love to read. I was really good. Mm-hmm. I could interpret stories really well. I would read advanced books that wasn't for my grade. I mean, I ended up doing, you know, oral book reports at the teacher's desk because she said, I want you to read this book. I know you can read this book. So that I had that.
So you had that.
Most people wrote when they were little. I never wrote a thing. I daydreamed.
But that's okay. That's what informed you. That's why you can write now. You see, we have this habit of making our experiences wrong for some reason. And it's our work as adults to shift that perspective, to change that, and to create what was right about those experiences, even in the hell of them, because they have informed us and they've created who we are today. And so honoring them, I think, is a really, really important piece. And I think it's key, you know.
Well, I get motivation, and, you know, I'm sure the universe is saying, well, what more does she need? Now, we have to light a fire under her or what? You know, but, you know, I'm home a lot, of course, as most of us are, and I love working at home. I mean, the jobs, I used to have 2 and 3 jobs at a time out, you know, when I lived in Michigan. Now I'm in South Carolina. But as soon as we got here, I sat down at my computer and I thought, gee, I'm going to love this. I'm going to love this. And I have not ever resented the access that I've had and the training. I mean, I could have gone on to be a CPA if I wanted to, because I know bookkeeping really well. I was trained by a CPA. But you see, the whole thing of it is that, and he told me something, and I want to share this with the people listening. Ask the questions. Don't be afraid to ask
the questions.
He told me, you know why you're doing this so well? And I said, no. He said, you would say to me, you know, Vince, I don't know how to do it. How do I do this? How do I set up the chart of accounts? He said, I'm going to show you right now. And that's true. I asked the questions. And if I didn't know it, I wasn't afraid to ask. Because I knew I wouldn't look stupid. How can I be stupid? I didn't know how to do it. Show me how to do it.
And look,
I won't ever say that to you
muscle.
Again because I know.
And look, you have that muscle, the muscle of stepping through the fear of not knowing.
That's
why you're going to, yes, you have that muscle. So you can now go into that reserve and activate it now that you're aware that you have it with your book. You know, it's really important that we honor our inner knowing. It's really important now more than ever. The last part of Discover the Gift, the book, is about creating a conscious and compassionate world and why it's so important. And we could talk about that at so many levels right now with what's going on in our world. But it's really about remembering that as much as we don't like it, we are all connected. We are all on this earth together. And figuring out how to have our own inner peace so we can have peace and compassion for others and create a conscious world that allows our children to live into their gifts, to actually live into who they are instead of living in fight or flight all the time. That's one thing we've really done to our children of this world, is that a lot of them don't ever get to access the broader regions of their own brain because they're stuck in fight or flight in survival mode. And it's our job as the adults of this earth to really make a difference. Because that's where true evolution and transformation lives, is when they can really expand into their fullness. And I really believe it to be true. When we were creating Discover the Gift, one of the key people and leaders that started it passed away right before it was about to come out. And I want to honor her, Dr. Sonia Powers. And many people ask, what is the gift? What does it mean? And it means things on multiple levels. And it means everything from activating your passions in the world, sharing your purpose, discovering the gifts of your adversities, really sharing the things that light you up and inspire you. And as Dr. Sonia Powers says, this is a paragraph, and this is, to me, what the gift really is and why we're here to discover it. And there are so many ways to talk about the gift. Every day I find a new way to think about the gift and to express the gift. You see, life is the gift. Consciousness is the gift. The people in your life are gifts. It is all the gift. Every circumstance you experience, and it's not how can I get over this, how can I ever get through this. It's what's available for me to take from this. How can I help myself and help others? But I just want to say that the gift is everything, right? And it's there because it's available for us to take the opportunity to learn from and to transform because of it. We affect everyone and everything. And that's our responsibility.
It's true. What are you working on now, Cheyenne?
Right now, I am working on a couple different things. I just finished, it's been a long-standing project of mine that's finally coming to its completion, and it's called Andrew's Sparkle. You have to be lost before you can be found. And it's a story of a young boy.
That.
Yeah, and
his journey. That was my dad's name, and that's my son's middle name, Andrew.
Oh, I love that name. And it's about the sparkle of children. Yeah. And honoring them.
Oh.
And then I'm also working on a paper right now on supporting students in and people really with anxiety. There's so much anxiety in the world right now.
Oh,
and everyone is really living in this place of fight or flight and amygdala hijack. And so I've been writing a large paper about that and about the science of it and the actual simple steps we can take to help bring ourselves out of it, and how mindfulness and meditation are actually some of the best research supported by science that makes a difference. And so I've been combining those two and writing about that. And that's the thing I'm in
the moment. Well, I know one thing. I want to have you back on the show again sometime this year, later in the year. Part of it is because you and I resonate with each other, and you have so much information to share that I think it's important. There's a few people that I always try to bring back. I have there's a friend of mine. Well, he's become a friend of mine. He's a motivational speaker. and I've had him on 3 times, believe it or not. And then there's a professor that I tease him. I said, if I was in your class, now, you know, I didn't graduate, and I was in the front row raising my hand, I'd get an A. He said, damn straight you get an A. Because you'd be participating. You'd be participating.
Exactly.
You know, and he said, it's not always about paper. It's not always about a test. You know what I'm saying? He says it's participation. But this motivational speaker, I had him on this last time, and I have to tell you this. I want to ask you something. I was having some really bad days, right? He says, what? I said, well, if you were on the radio with me and I didn't sound really good, he said, I'd call you right away. I said, why? He said, because you can step in different shoes. He said, no one. It's kind of like being an actor or an actress. You can go out there and you can perform, only you don't perform. He says, it all comes from within, from you. He said, I would call you and say, okay, what's wrong? How can we fix this right now? And I said, really? He said, yeah, because he said, I hear in your voice, I could tell in your voice right away you were not with it. Like, you know, like I was so anxious to talk to you. I just knew it would be a great show. I just knew. There was no doubt in my mind. And I just think you have an awful lot to share. And just talking. See, we can just talk about life. Just about life.
Absolutely.
And you know, Cheyenne, it helps people out there, because I don't want them to look at you and I as though we're something special. We're all
different.
Special.
Yeah, exactly. We're all special.
You know,
we're
all have
different
gifts. Every one of us has a gift. And I'll argue with it until I have my take my last breath. You have a gift. You know, you are special, like I told my son yesterday. I mean, he said, Mom, where did you find this card? I said, at Kroger's. And he could not believe the card.
That's
but you see little things like that, you see? And so, yes, I'm going to have you back on again. I just love you. You're wonderful.
I look forward to being on with you again and having more discussions.
And
you know,
also, I'm going to write to you maybe about putting something in the magazine, if you will, for the next issue. Something doesn't have to be big.
I'd be honored.
I would be honored, honey. I've had chills so many times this past hour plus. Yeah, I can't even begin to tell you. And there's a reason for it. You make people feel good. I hope I make people feel good. It's true.
Do make people feel good. This has been such a joy to be in this conversation with you, and I look forward to continuing it. And we can chat more.
And I will tap you and say, okay, I'm stuck. Well, how do I get out of this? You know what I'm saying? I think what I'm going to do, though, Cheyenne, is I'm just going to sit down and write. Not an outline. Somebody said, well, you should do an outline. No, I don't like outlines. I'm just going to sit down and start at the beginning. Because actually,
just allow. Yes.
Yes, the story will be true. It's true. It's about
you already
me.
Have it. Just allow it.
I do.
Right.
I do.
Just allow it to come
I hesitated to do it, though, Cheyenne, because I don't have the ending yet. But somebody said to me, well, maybe by the time you're near the end, you'll have the ending.
You know, the ending will appear. And sometimes the ending is not where you think it is. And so that's one of the fascinating things about writing stories. And so just writing it and being in that process, it will find itself because you'll be in your flow.
You're so inspirational. I'm going to tell you that. You are. You are.
Thank you. You're so kind.
No, it's true. I wouldn't tell you that. I'm a Sagittarius.
You.
I tell the truth.
Yes, Sagittarius definitely tell the truth. Well, you know,
yeah, my moon is in Leo and my ascendant is in Capricorn, so I'm a little workaholic.
Oh,
but I'm only 2 degrees of Sagittarius.
It.
What are you? What sign are you?
So I'm a Leo and I have an Aquarius.
Oh, then we know each other well.
Yes, we do. yes, we do. I'm
we
happy
have a lot
to have
of pride.
That. Yes, we do, and a lot of service to give others for sure.
Oh,
well,
yes.
I just want to remind.
Yes.
You and everyone else that's listening, that everyone has a gift to give. You know, Jack Canfield, one of the many incredible leaders in Discover the Gift, one of my favorite quotes of his is so simple, and it's, everyone has a gift to give. It's the essence of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So discovering who you really are and sharing that, that's the gift.
How beautiful.
That's what Discover the Gift is about. Thank you.
That's right. And you know, it's like you can write. Well, I'm going to do it. I have to do it because, you know, it's on my mind. And I thought to myself, well, maybe if you don't start this, it won't have the ending that you want it to have because you haven't put it into motion yet. Everything is about within. Everything, you know, Natalie needs to put it on paper. Natalie needs to get it out there. And who knows?
And Natalie, the key to writing is writing. So write, Natalie, write.
Right. And I'll get inspiration from you.
Perfect.
Okay,
I'm
it was so great to have you on.
Time.
And you're going to love how I end the show. And I want to thank my friend for listening. She's out in Portland area, and she got up early so she could listen. She's like my devoted fan. This is the one that said you're good at being smart and you are brave as hell. Yeah, I am. I have another friend. I got to tell you this, you're going to laugh. She says, I've never met anybody like you. You have big ones, she says. And everybody knows what that means.
It.
She says, she says, you have brass ones. She says, I've never known anybody. Brass, B-R-A-S-S. She says, I've never known anybody like you. Just like this magazine that I'm learning how to do it. I just think it will be a beautiful thing. And, you know, I have ideas about ads for it. And you know, it's, and I just know so many people. You know, I need to tap into it. And now I have you as my friend. And I have your email address and your phone number.
Yes, you do. Please
so
reach
I
out
can
anytime.
Easily yes, but thank you. Now, with that, I'm going to say we have another show next week, of course. But this is how I always end my show, Cheyenne, and that is believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Mm. And with that, I'm going to say I love you, Cheyenne. You're beautiful. keep working hard, and I will be in contact with you. And thank you, my friend who listens. I never mentioned her name. I probably could, but she'd have to tell me it was okay. But thank you for getting up so early and listening. That's just, it's like such devotion. It's she's my biggest fan. She really is. There's just no doubt in my mind.
That's love and support right there. And,
thank
you so much for this incredible conversation.
I thank you. You have an awesome day. You're out in California right now, right?
No, I'm actually in Vermont.
Oh, okay.
Yep, I moved back home to Vermont. We did California for 7 years and then home to Vermont.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're not going back out to California?
Nope, I have no plans to. I love the quality of life in New England. I think it's a much better quality. I call myself bi-coastal as needed. I go where I need to go. Home is Vermont for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, you have a beautiful day. I'm going to have a beautiful day. And I'm going to start writing. Well, I already have written some of it. I just have to carry on. That little voice is going to be Cheyenne saying, write, write, write.
Just write, Natalie.
Thank you.
Write, even if it's 5 minutes a day. All right. Talk to
you
later.
That's right. Even if it's a line and then you get carried off, well, how do I do that?
Exactly.
I'm not going to even ask myself, how do I do that? I'm just going to write it. And then it'll fix itself as time goes on.
Exactly.
Right.
And then you have an editor and someone will go through it. And don't even worry. Just allow it to come out. And you can go back and change as needed. But allow your flow, because that will get your story out. And that will get the core of everything you need right there. Just allow the flow to happen. Okay.
Thank you. I'll be in touch, okay?
All right. Wonderful. Have a great afternoon.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Have a good day. Love you. I love everybody out there. Remember, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Bye-bye.